Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
No.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. Thinking of you's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together, making sparks ignite. And the thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Sky rockets in flight.
Woo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop.
You guys have it, I think.
Afternoon delight.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's Pastoral Down.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Miranda Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
You know, we didn't even talk about it last week, and now here we are this week on August 6, 2024. Starting 9 minutes late. It's supposed to start at 9:46 Eastern time, starting at 9:55 Eastern time. Apparently, he's back on the market, and now I have my shot at Adam Cole, baby. You know about that? You haven't heard the rumors?
No, I heard... What did I see?
You probably saw the stuff about her getting suspended. is what you probably saw.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Because that bullshit. Which, I mean...
Well, didn't she post something about how great it is to read about themselves on the internet?
Yep, and she's like, tell me more. And I think it's because the whole backstage altercation involving her and MJF and MJF's girlfriend, Alicia Tout, or Toot, however it's pronounced, it all, you know, became public, and then she got suspended, even though a lot of people backstage kind of sympathized with her. And then right before that, there were rumors because Adam Cole posted he was moving back to Pittsburgh by himself and having to coordinate this entire move on his own. And of course, everyone knows that they lived in Orlando. And people are like, but she lives in Pittsburgh. She doesn't live in Pittsburgh. She lives in Orlando, where she has her dental practice, where they lived when he was signed to NXT. And of course, they've been together for a long time and never got married. Who knows, right? Now, then there was this rumor going around that she slept with Christian Cage. And I don't know if she has daddy problems or what's going on there, but because that's his character, in case you don't know.
Yep. But no, I don't know.
I know, that's why I clarified that. Like, his whole character is about people who don't have fathers. It's one of the better things they do in AEW, to be completely clear with you. And he's been wrestling a lot more on Collision, so you'll probably see him.
So I won't see that angle when I'm there live.
You might, because he actually, most of it's been playing out on Collision since since the Patriarchy, his crew, has won the six-man tag team championships in AEW, the trios titles, as they call them. Yes, because see, last weekend on Collision... On Collision, your show, Patrick O'Dowd's show, Collision. Christian Cage had been carrying around all three of the trio titles himself, even though he, Nick Wayne, and Luchasaurus, or he calls Killswitch, all won the titles. So he presented one title to Nick Wayne and talked about how he was the prodigy, blah, blah, blah. Nick Wayne's mom, by the way, Mother Wayne, is part of the faction. Nick Wayne's dad, not apparently in the picture, which is why the whole thing works. Then he gave all this praise to Luchasaurus and then proceeded to give the other trio's title to Mother Wayne because Luchasaurus has done all these amazing things, but he didn't give birth to the prodigy in the future of the patriarchy in Nick Wayne. So, obviously, and then it looked like Luchasaurus was going to do something. Out came the House of Black. Then Buddy Murphy returned. Buddy Matthews returned. All is right with the world. But, so there you go. That's your summary of Collision and what happened.
Wait, that was a big deal? That Buddy Matthews came back?
That's when Buddy Matthews came back. That's how he came back, yeah.
No, but you said, and all is right with the world, as if
that was just a cliche that I used to finish my statement. It doesn't matter.
Okay, but so you gotta be careful with language like that, because, like, somebody might believe that that means a Buddy Matthews return, like, moves the needle.
It's, you know what? I could have jumped on later than I did, because I actually made a soundbite that I haven't done in forever.
Celebrating Buddy Matthews?
The way you're talking right now, I'm going to use my soundbite.
Bitch.
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 I didn't make that, by the way. I stole the whole thing. It was already prepackaged, and I stole it off of Instagram.
So,
and there's other versions of the same one that I love.
Right, but what are you going for here? Like, are you calling me a bitch? Is that what the point is here?
I'm calling the situation a bitch.
Okay. Because, like...
Bitch!
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 I just love I love your enthusiasm mouthing bitch along with the soundbite.
Like, it's
I
fun.
I can see that you're very excited about this new one. And is this going to be, like, a Greg DeMarco special for, like, the next month? Like, you know, like back in the day, doing this podcast for like 10 years, Greg DeMarco
13 years, that, just to clarify.
Greg DeMarco finds a soundbite that he enjoys. And then, kids, you get to hear that soundbite for about a month and a half until he finds the next soundbite. And it used to be a big joke on the Greg DeMarco show about how the sheer volume of soundbites that Greg DeMarco had, that he played, that he replayed, they would fall out of favor. And every once in a while, they come back.
Well, I would like rediscover them, and that would be the best.
Yeah, like many of our listeners, I bet, because now we have enough longevity that there is a possibility that people listening now weren't even alive when we started. Like a 15-year-old could have discovered this podcast, and so they might not know that there was a time where you played a lot of Truth Martini.
No
soundbite.
Me so horny.
That's good shit right there. I know that's not what the soundbite is.
That's good shit right there. That's amazing. Oh my God, me so horny. That's fantastic.
That's right.
The fact that you said it like that.
Watching a little Full Metal Jacket lately.
Me so horny. Oh man.
Me love you long time.
I love the Truth Martini ROH theme. You know that. You know how much I love the Truth Martini ROH theme song.
I do. I wasn't really asking you to play it. Stumbled into the Greg DeMarco does nothing but play sound bites for 6 minutes, talk a little wrestling. Greg DeMarco plays more sound bites for 6 minutes episode. That feels like where we're going today.
And you know what? And this is I would have made this joke 10 years ago without reservation. And now I have so much reservation, but I don't care. I feel like someone who hasn't had heroin for a year and just got heroin. Like, that's how I feel right now, because, okay, I assume that's how I feel, because I've never been a drug addict, thankfully, knock on wood, this is probably fake wood.
I mean, I have more inappropriate jokes, like,
of course you do.
You have more energy than a leukemia patient after a plasma blast. I mean, like, we can go dark.
We can. I've never had a plasma blast either. It's not the type of leukemia that I have. Not yet.
It's not your leukemia. It's not your leukemia. Hey, you know what? I can't wait to lose all the feeling in my lower limbs. Like, it's going to happen. Like, it was very exciting to happen. As long as I can keep walking, I just won't know when I stub my toe. I'm going to check infections. It'll be fine.
Hey, if you end up in a wheelchair, I will push you. I will push you around.
That's happening. That's great. You know what that means? I get to cut the line at Disney World.
And I get to get on the ride earlier. Why do you think I said I would push you? You think I give a shit? No, I just want to get on the fucking ride.
Got to get my contract first, though, Greg, because we're still waiting on Disney.
Waiting on the Disney contract.
First right of refusal. And
you need to look at that first right of refusal and you need to say,
acknowledge me.
I need to go back and get like the big dog soundbite. Like, there are so many that I don't have on this computer. I've had for almost a year now.
As this turns into this big like trip down memory lane,
it happens every so often.
There were the sound bites and then there were the songs. Because the other thing, when our podcasts were extraordinarily
3 hours long.
Extraordinarily long, we would take commercial breaks.
With the big dog! Now here comes the big dog, Roman Reigns. Here comes the big dog! The big dog, Roman Reigns! The big dog! And we kick off Monday Night Raw live tonight in Phoenix, Arizona. With the big dog!
That's obviously where I got that soundbite from. That's only the first 21 seconds of the soundbite. There's way more to it that I obviously didn't take. So
right, and you usually cut it off around 21 seconds.
Well, it always ended with the Phoenix, Arizona part. It kicks off Monday Night Raw, and the Sasha Banks boss time always ended with in Brooklyn. I don't know why I remember this, but I do. So there we go.
Hey, you know what? You got what you got. But back to – so there was that, and then there was the like – 3 to 5 minute breaks we would take where we would just play totally not, you know, trademarked music that took us back to our youth. I'm not saying A Man Called Sting wasn't great.
It was great.
We never played that.
Never played Man Called Sting.
We never played an Edge compilation.
Oh my God, I missed the Edge compilation. I found that one too.
Eddie Guerrero one too, right?
We had Eddie Guerrero, and of course we had this one.
This is the OG. Yeah.
This I stole from Larry and Steve. They played on their podcast. Good shit. Oh, my goodness.
Just my one sad thing about the Iron Claw is I know it really wasn't part of the narrative or the story they were telling, but boy, I wish there would have been some like more substantial Freebird stuff other than like
oh, yeah. kind of guy. You could do a whole movie just on them. I don't think people would watch it so much, but it would be great.
But I will say, you know, two men and one hell of a
time. It's boss time. It is boss time. It's 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 boss time. Right here live on Monday Night Raw. It's boss time. It is main event time. It's boss time. It's boss time. It's boss time.
That one's not the one I used before because it's not the same as what I was looking for. But what's interesting about that one was it was a trip down memory lane of all the different stages they had for Monday Night Raw. Like, and there were some damn good stages, and just how different Sasha Banks looked at different points as well. There's an 18-minute video of great Michael Cole one-liners. There's too many things we could just listen to right now for no reason whatsoever. So
yep.
We gotta not do that. Man, it's so easy to go down a rabbit hole. That's for sure.
It was. Is Michael Cole, as Jim Ross says, the best in the business now?
A lot of people are calling Michael Cole the best. Did Jim Ross call Michael Cole the best in the business?
Jim Ross, I think it was on his podcast.
Okay.
Apparently was...
Jim Ross still has a podcast? I don't even know Jim Ross still had a podcast.
Come on now. I don't listen to it regularly unless he's talking about old stuff. And then I skip the first hour because that's about how AEW is doing. And it's, I listen to like his health updates like are good to gear and catch up on because, you know, he's had some issues as of late.
Right.
But no... I don't remember the entire context, but he definitely, I think it was on his podcast. It was probably one of those like Ask JR Anything segments or something like that. But he was asked about like who are the best people on commentary or whatever. And he said he put Cole over to his credit. And then, of course, it led to numerous folks being like, no, JR, you're the greatest of all time and no one could ever replace you. And it, like, he wasn't saying that like Michael Cole replaced him or anything. He's, yeah.
And people arguing that it's JR versus Michael Cole. I mean, people argue LeBron and Michael Jordan. Like, it's in baseball, my God, especially people argue who the greatest of all time is. And I know how you feel about the GOAT discussion. We talked about this, like, probably 2 months ago, but it was three episodes ago of the podcast because that's how we were rolling during the summer. But it's Michael Cole, for a lot of people, has approached that level and has hit that level. I think WWE has termed him that, but of course he's there. He's been doing it longer in WWE than Jim Ross ever did. There's just so many things. And his voice is now more synonymous with more of the major happenings in WWE than Jim Ross was. But there's not that, by God, it's Kane and Stone Cold. Like, we don't have those for Michael Cole.
You don't really have a Michael Cole call that is like he's broken in half. Or like you were saying, like the Stone Cold. Like you don't have that. But there was also a different, like Michael Cole's not Jim Ross.
Right.
And that's just never really been who he's been as an announcer. You know, he used to get made fun of because he would say vintage Orton or whatever.
Still
like,
does.
That
yeah.
was, and he still does. And now it's celebrated. Like, that's what's funny is it's gone from this reviled thing to where people now embrace it.
Well, he would say vintage to a lot of things. He would say vintage Shawn Michaels, vintage whoever, vintage John Cena. Vintage Orton is the one that stuck around because Randy Orton stuck around. So that's part of it. And
number one contender, Randy Orton.
As should be. We can talk about that
Correct
too.
Call.
I think because, and we talked about this years ago, when Michael Cole did the NXT UK tournament, the very first one, there was two nights. I think he was on commentary with, I believe he was on commentary with Daniel Bryan Danielson the first time. Second time he was on with Nigel McGuinness when he did it. He was amazing. And Vince wasn't even there. Vince didn't even know what was going on, I don't think. Like, he wasn't part of it. Wasn't screaming in his ear or anything. And then when Triple H took over and Vince was gone, suddenly Michael Cole changed and completely just started doing it the way he thought he should be doing it. And then Pat McAfee came in and Cole loosened up even more. And it's just, as great as Michael Cole is and all the great memories that we have of Michael Cole and how many people think he's the best ever do it, and I'm there too, you also got to think about what was stolen from us, quote unquote stolen from us, all the years he didn't get to be the Michael Cole he is now.
That's true.
And we're damn sure lucky he didn't quit at some point over all the bullshit and go get another job somewhere else.
For my money, though, my favorite partner with Michael Cole is JBL. Went back and
yeah,
I still go back to probably my favorite moment between the two of them where it just kind of encapsulated how good they are together was during the Shawn Michaels Undertaker finale, the Royal Rumble finale. Like, I can't remember what year that was, but where they faced each other the last two. And at one point, Michael Cole is just calling what's going on in the ring and JBL losing his mind on Michael Cole, begging him to not be biased towards, like, whoever the bad guy was. It was just so, they were so good together. They worked so well together. And that to me was kind of the real first inkling that Michael Cole was perhaps a little unfairly maligned early on in his career.
And JBL, I don't think, gets the respect he deserves as a commentator. And no, I've talked no, about no, it before, no. and I've pointed to it before. If you go back to WrestleMania 21 and the main event between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, thank God JBL was on commentary there, because JBL... 31, thank you.
Yeah.
31, 946. WrestleMania 31. But thank goodness JBL was on commentary, because he sold... on purpose, whether it was supposed to be sold this way or not, he sold it as, is the story of the match being, is Roman Reigns ready? Which everybody was saying online, Roman's not ready, it's too soon, he's not the guy. And JBL made that the story of the match. And then the way the match played out, it played out perfectly within what JBL was saying. Like, are the lights too bright? Is this too much? Blah, blah, blah. And that played out perfectly. And then, of course, Seth Rollins stole the spotlight in the end. And it's crazy to look back at WrestleMania 31 and see that the main event was Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, and Seth Rollins cashed in. And fast forward to now, as we look towards WrestleMania 41 and think about where we're at. Roman Reigns just came back and immediately took over as the top talent in the company. Seth Rollins is literally one of the most consistent bankable performers they have on the roster. Like, it's insane to see the direction they went in and how... while people might think they're stupid and don't know what they're doing, seems like they do.
They do. We were wrong, by the way. We should admit that. Like, we had both argued that Roman Reigns would not return at SummerSlam.
We did. We did say that ultimately he would not return. And he did return. I also said that the Bloodline wouldn't win the tag titles, and there they are. You said they would on SmackDown. You said DIY's run was going to be over right away, and it was. And that's where we are. Too bad, but is what it is.
Sorry, DIY.
That's what you said last week.
Go back to trying to RKA Randy Orton. Very
which they haven't really stopped.
It just sort of pops up randomly. That's fine. I haven't finished SummerSlam yet, by the way.
No.
No, it's You know what this time of year is for me.
Of course.
And valuing my time. Plus, my last sort of weekend that was, like, I did not find time to watch SummerSlam during my big Metallica weekend. Sadly, even on the Saturday where they weren't doing a show, I ended up finding other shit to do.
Right, of course.
Which is kind of, you know, taking advantage of being away. So I'm only to Nia Jax winning the women's title over Bayley. So I'm about, what, like a third of the way through the pay-per-view?
Yep, that was the fourth match of the seven. So you're more than a third of the way through. You're halfway through.
Yeah, in terms of time, I'm not, though. It doesn't look
true, like, because the,
like,
yeah,
like the stretch, like we're still there. But yeah, I did see Dom turn on Rhea. I saw Logan Paul lose, not really. And boy, the stuff going around about Logan Paul today,
that's just so stupid. Like, when I say that's so stupid, I'm not talking about his comments about the Olympian, which he even backtracked himself,
right,
and yep, stated he was wrong. But to think that his comments are the reason he lost the title, like, Stevie Wonder could see that Logan Paul was going to lose to LA Knight. Like, the whole feud was set up for Logan Paul to lose to LA Knight. And to think that they changed at the very last second because of his comments is just news trying to news, is what that is.
And today I wasn't even referring to that. Like, today I saw, I'm assuming it's a phony, like, I'm assuming it was a storyline lawsuit of, like, Logan Paul suing LA Knight over the truck.
Yes.
And people being like, this is just an attempt to cover up this real lawsuit that's going on, blah. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, nobody cares.
His company, Prime, is getting sued, and Prime Hydration is getting sued by a supplier.
Nobody knew that his company, Prime, was getting sued before he decided to sue, quote unquote, like LA Knight. Like, that's crazy talk. And then
when LA Knight drove off with the truck, Logan Paul was yelling, "I'll sue you." Like, that was part of the angle.
And so then they put up a fake, put up a fake lawsuit. And then the other thing I read today, and I didn't read like a story on it. It was a quote from a post, so I don't know where the source or where it came from. But it was that Logan Paul was, like, furious at the WWE PR team who were trying to talk to him about his comments that he made about the Olympian, and that he, like is at odds with the WWE now and, like, hates them all. Like,
okay.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
So
what is happening?
A Facebook, like, I'm trying to think of what the best way to put it, but, like, on Facebook there was a post, and that post talked about, the post itself was like this all wrestling news or whatever, like, thing they do. And all these little pages are just SportsKita. Like, they just eventually take you to SportsKita articles. But the All Wrestling News thing said that Logan Paul lost his title because of the comments, blah, blah, blah. And then it had, like, a link to an article, right? When you go to the article, it was a SportsKita article. But you know what the article was about? The article was about speculation that they will reverse the decision and give the title back to Logan Paul because of something that happened. It's and people were buying the post and not even reading the article, which would have told you the entire thing is clickbaity bullshit. And but yet here we are having to click these things because that's what and people just run with the headlines. And that's just the stupidity of people online. It just really is. Because and I pointed in there, I was like, did you guys click the link in the post? Because the article completely contradicts the post. What should have told you right there, this whole thing isn't worth the energy that we're all giving it. At all.
Right. Like, yeah, it's insane to me. So, but that's kind of the story of, like, hell, even if we want to get to what you shared with me earlier today to perhaps talk about this show, a lot of dumb energy surrounding particularly dumb energy surrounding the internet wrestling community right now.
That I said more is probably a 3-minute warning, but we'll see.
That's fine, but just, it's yeah, good. Like, I was.
It's good shit. It really is.
Yeah, I've been blown away today by the Twitter.
SummerSlam just happened. SummerSlam just happened. Huge event. They announce attendance, which, of course, people are disputing. Like, it's just, you know, now that SummerSlam's in a stadium, we're going to have the attendance conversation more times a year. Like, it's just the bullshit's going to continue to pile on. We're going to go to commercial. We're going to come right back, and we'll talk about a few things wrestling, because that's what we do here.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys. How's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Bitch!
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 So we're not going to do the game show because I don't have those sound bites here either. Can you name the four bitches in the sound bite?
I didn't listen enough to try and guess. So I think one of them was The Rock.
So hang on. I think I can pause these.
Bitch!
So that is...
That's The Rock.
Okay.
Bitch!
Do you know who that is?
It's a woman.
Yes, it is. All right, we'll come back to that one.
Bitch!
Do you know who that one is?
No, I
That one's going to be more difficult. That one's going to be more difficult because it's AEW. That's Okada. That's what he does. All he does is say bitch now in AEW. Put on good matches and say bitch. That's Okada's character. And holds one of their 17 titles. And then the last one, of course.
Bitch!
That one is Io Sky. Oh, she was saying it to Asuka, because in the video version, she says bitch like that, and then as the crowd reacts, the camera's on Asuka. The other one...
You just made the list!
Wait, it went to the wrong soundbite. Let's go here.
Bitch!
Bitch!
That's Sasha Banks. Probably the greatest promo Sasha Banks ever cut. It's a WWE promo. I think it's actually in the Performance Center, but judging by the... I think it's in the Thunderdome. I think all the Thunderdome panels were behind her in the video.
Yeah, the acoustics.
On Instagram.
Yeah.
Got it. Not even the acoustics, just the way it looked. The visuals, but... Yeah, classic stuff. So, obviously, SummerSlam was this weekend. You may not have seen it, but Roman Reigns did return to the WWE. And, I mean, okay, there's a lot of things to talk about with SummerSlam here. You saw Dom Mysterio return on Rhea Ripley and join up with Liv Morgan. I was wrong. I said Dom was going to go the babyface route and be a mega over babyface. He didn't. Now Rhea Ripley's a mega over babyface along with Damian Priest. And Finn Balor is now the leader of the Judgment Day. I do love the Iron Butterfly references that we're getting for Judgment Day, because none of the original members of the Judgment Day are now in the Judgment Day, because it was Edge, Rhea Ripley, and Damian Priest. But I feel like the Judgment Day, more so than the Bloodline.
No, wasn't Balor wasn't one of the originals?
Balor was added much later and ousted Edge when he was added.
Right.
I don't know if it was a full year later. I don't think it was, because the following WrestleMania. They added Balor. I don't remember how long it was, but he wasn't one of the original. Like, the original were literally put in pretty quickly. And then Balor was added later, and now Balor, saying there's no leaders, but, I mean, come on. Balor's the leader, and as he should be. I think the Judgment Day, and they'll probably go through graphic changes in the future and all kinds of stuff, more so than the Bloodline, because the Bloodline is a certain type of bloodline, heritage, whatever. The Judgment Day, I feel like, is going to be 5 years from now, if it's still around, could be the WWE's answer to the Bullet Club. Like, just with a rotating cast, the Bullet Club has changed leaders over time. The Bullet Club is none of the people in Bullet Club now are original members of Bullet Club. And somebody might correct me, but I don't believe any of the members now are original members of Bullet Club. And Bullet Club's fine. But... I could see that, and Balor's the perfect person to take it to that level, right? Because he was one of the leaders of the Bullet Club. So, I like it. I like the Judgment Day. I'm glad they didn't get rid... A lot of people thought that SummerSlam was the end of the Judgment Day, which I thought was crazy, because now you've got a vehicle that you can continue to use to get talent over. What would J.D. McDonagh be doing if he wasn't in the Judgment Day? He damn sure wouldn't be one half of the World Tag Team Champions. So...
Right.
With Finn Balor. So, and Carlito, like, he just randomly gets moved over to Raw in the trade or in the draft, turns on Rey Mysterio in the LWO. Now he's got nothing, shows up with the Judgment Day, and next thing you know, he's now officially one of the members of the Judgment Day, along with, you know, Liv Morgan being the other new member. So it all just works in the end, and I like it. I like the fact that the Judgment Day can be this for talent in WWE.
Yeah, no, I think it's great and it's logical, and boy, I if you would have told me that these would be the players that would keep the Judgment Day going and keep people interested, I wouldn't have believed you. I would have been like, no, that's not going to fly, and yet here we are, probably telling the best story in the company right now.
One of them, yeah.
And holy shit. Were people crazy? I haven't watched Raw yet, but people were certainly crazy for Rhea and Priest at the end of that show.
They were. They are so over his baby faces right now.
Yeah.
And Priest has got his documentary that just came out. Like, it's Bianca Belair all over again, except Priest has already held a world title before this happens. But, and I did want to talk about Damian Priest, because I said it as we were building up to SummerSlam, like, and even along the way, I didn't feel like Damian Priest was the guy in a lot of ways. And I said about Drew McIntyre when he was world champion, like, he wasn't the guy. And now Drew McIntyre is one of the best performers they have in the company. And Damian Priest is now approaching that level. Losing this title is the best thing that could have happened to Damian Priest, in my opinion. because
especially he's now more over so than ever. Well done and well built, and yeah, he's got a recourse to come back at some point.
And Gunther, like, people just don't. I don't think people appreciate Gunther's role in this. Calling him street trash, like all the things that he said to Damian Priest that played in, that eventually play into the documentary that's out for Damian Priest and everything. Like, it's just, people think like there is levels to this shit. It as the saying goes, and they definitely played with those levels in the Damian Priest push. And now they got a guy, right. Damian Priest.
It was very, very good storytelling. And, you know, we heap praise on this dude all the time because a lot of what he says is we agree with. But our boy Eric Bischoff, like, always talks about the what's next factor. They clearly had a what's next.
They did.
They clearly had this well thought out and planned as to where they were going and how they were going to do it. And they not only showed the inevitability of Gunther, they also turned around and didn't suck all of the momentum, as you just pointed out of Damian Priest.
He's got more now than he did before.
And they gave him something to do to where he can't go after Gunther right away anyway. I don't know that he's the guy that would dethrone Gunther eventually, but that, like, he's viable now. He's viable.
He is.
Theoretically, he had the match won. Because I did see the finish. I saw part of the finish. I saw Balor put the leg on the rope. So the argument is Damian had him.
And the fact that Damian Priest saw the replay on the screen in the stadium was brilliant.
Yep.
Because why haven't they done that shit before? Right? And I would love to know whose idea that was, where they're like, have him see it on the screen. Because him seeing it on the screen and then turning around and then Balor, like, completely changing his demeanor. And because I already knew what happened before I watched it, because I watched it on delay and I finished off SummerSlam yesterday. The backstage bits where the Judgment Day was trying to find Dominic Mysterio and he assumed he already left the building, and Priest yelling at them and then Priest apologizing and Balor, like, sometimes the WWE is they try to be too subtle, like when Priest runs off and then Balor would do the evil smile. They did none of that. Like, Balor kept his concern. Balor kept everything. So it made the turn even better. Like, at least they weren't too obvious in that one.
Yeah, it wasn't the damage control turn.
Right. Yeah, it was. Oh my God, that was. But it worked, and now damage control is basically baby faces again. Like, it's crazy.
Right. It was weird. I was reading. Like, again, I was like reading results, and it was like damage control came out and, like, made a save or something, or like helped.
Well, it was for their own person, but yeah. And then they got attacked. Dakota Kai gets attacked backstage by Sonya Deville or Shayna Baszler, which I guess is ironic because they dated at some point. I don't know, but yeah. Damage control has always been over with the fans, especially
right.
You know, the Japanese talent that are within and Dakota Kai. So them being baby faces works perfectly because they're trying to establish this heel trio with Sonya Deville, Zoe Stark, and Shayna Baszler. So it all makes sense.
Right.
It all works. But what they did with Damian Priest was great. I still think WWE is a little too predictable. Even though I got it wrong with Dominic Mysterio not siding with Rhea Ripley, and instead, like, so at least they surprised me there, and I'm happy about that. Maybe I was trying too hard for them to surprise us, and because everybody thought Dominic was going to turn heel, so that probably still is not a surprise. They'll get to the point of surprises. I firmly believe that. Triple H made some comment that, like, if the things that we think are going to happen, people will be blown away. Who knows what that means?
I
don't know, but.
But if you're putting on a good show, even if it's predictable, because here's the thing is, and again, we work in a field, and I say work as if we get paid to do this, but we are part of a field that is very prone to hyperbole. But a lot of our contemporaries enjoyed this SummerSlam so much to be declaring it their top five SummerSlam of all time, stuff like that. I haven't finished the show. I don't know if I buy that. But it clearly was a good show.
It
clearly satisfied folks.
I buy it, to be honest with you. Like, it's hard to say it now.
Well, I haven't finished the show yet.
So. Yeah. But I do think I got to buy it. Like, it was good. all the people complaining that they could have added more matches, that it was just seven singles matches, blah, blah, blah. Like, I wouldn't have changed anything.
That's not our WWE now. And
it was 3.5 hours long.
Well, and here's the thing, Greg. Let's say we give them more matches. We just flip the narrative and we bitch about how there's too many matches and nobody was given enough time to tell a good story.
Well, not just that, but like, say they added a match and didn't change anything else. Now we're pushing closer to 4 hours. And people are going to complain about that. There was a post online that was showing the minutes between each match, showing that there was 13, average was like 13 and a half minutes between each match. But yet there was still like almost 2 hours of wrestling on the show, which people used to complain about that because it used to be under an hour.
Right.
Now there's 2 hours of wrestling on the show, so we got to find something else to bitch about. People will always find something to bitch about if they don't like it. Like, that's just what they're going to do.
And it's, that just kind of is what it is. And like every niche thing has those people.
By the way, I just saw this post. And this is just, this is why I love the internet sometimes. Odyssey Jones' debut last night on Raw has garnered over 8 million views on WWE's social platforms. Just for comparison, Okada's AEW debut has 4.5 million views. Mercedes Moné's AEW debut has 6 million views. And Will Ospreay's AEW debut has 4 million debuts. Odyssey Jones has outdrawn AEW's big three signings for the year. I don't care, and I think it's stupid, but it's just hilarious. Like, the things that people... Because if the opposite were to happen, if there's a debut that happens in AEW and it garners 10 million views... That will be thrown in the face of the e-drones everywhere. Like, that's what would happen.
Well, Tony Khan would be thanking the fans.
He doesn't do that anymore. Interesting.
He does.
Does he? I just don't see it.
He doesn't do it on the downloads, but he still thanks everybody for coming after every show on the social media.
But he's not bragging about stuff as much as he used to.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, he ain't got shit to brag about.
Right, with 10 million people downloaded it or viewed a debut, he'd do the humble brag thank you about like just how great it is that we have such great fans in the world. 10 million views, oh my God, you're amazing, blah blah blah, how great are you, when it's really how great am I is what he's trying to do.
This is the same guy when WWE loaded up NXT because Dynamite was on a Tuesday and John Cena and The Undertaker showed up. This was the same Tony Khan, the guy in charge of the guy who owns and runs AEW, was the guy who tweeted it was the smallest audience to ever see John Cena and The Undertaker. Tony Khan tweeted that. Like, that's how fucking petty and stupid this guy is. So,
right.
And people forget that. They think he's like the savior of pro wrestling. My ass, he's the savior of pro wrestling. But.
He's such a savior that, you've got Okada saying, and I didn't even know this, but you've got Okada saying, bitch, and wrestling good matches.
That's what he's doing. I mean, at least he's wrestling good matches. Like, here's the thing I'll say.
But that's what they do. I have no doubt, zero doubt, this is a fact, objectively.
Okay.
They can put on good matches. Like, we know that. They make good matches. Do people watch them? No, but they make really good matches.
A lot of people do watch it. It's still the highest rated program on Wednesday nights. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's still up there.
It is, but it's watched, but it's not. Like, it's watched, but it's not watched the way it could be.
They still haven't signed their TV deal. Like, that's, or at least it hasn't come out that they have.
Big things are coming. We're going to be stunned.
Of course. Of course we're going to be stunned.
I think he made that comment. I think he's talked about it in an interview today.
Oh, God. I'm sure we'll be stunned, all right.
Like,
we'll be stunned. I don't mind the Okada. From all accounts, Okada is like his real personality that's come out, and he's having fun.
Sure.
It's just like Nakamura. When people complain about how WWE uses Nakamura, dude loves it here, loves his role in WWE, and is super happy. So I'm same with AJ Styles. Like, AJ, I think, loves all the time off because his body's all beaten down. Like, he'd love to win one more world title. I don't think that's going to happen, but unless he goes to NXT and wins a title there. But,
right.
You know, AJ is, and that's the thing, like, who wasn't on the SummerSlam card is also crazy, too. Like, that's how loaded they are with talent in WWE. But it's, TV is important now, too. Like not every storyline plays out and goes to the pay-per-view. Outside of CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre, all the singles titles were defended at SummerSlam. Like, those are your top right. titles in the company. They were defended at SummerSlam. Sure, it would have been great to have a tag title match thrown in there or something like that, but I'm not taking anything they did out. There's not a single match on that card that I thought shouldn't have been on that card. I don't want to make it more than 3.5 hours. I don't feel like the show dragged on. I don't want the show to feel rushed. Like, I do think it was one of the five best SummerSlams that I've seen in the 30-plus whatever that they've done. And I think SummerSlam, it felt huge. You know, SummerSlam has been in the football stadiums for a few years now, but it felt huge. They're going to go to two nights starting next year. Triple H pretty much confirmed that. Like, it's WrestleMania of the summer at this point. Going to two nights, I would have been fine with it, because if you get six or so matches per night, there were seven matches now. You could have easily found five more matches to add to the two-night card, and I think it would have been just as good as a WrestleMania would have been.
Yeah.
So I'm down with that. I'm totally fine with that. I do love the AEW stands pointing out that they were doing some 3-for-1 ticket sales. And they're going crazy. And I would be like, where was that energy when AEW is doing the 4-for-1 sales at All In? And I didn't get a single response to that question anywhere that I posted it. Didn't get a single response.
Well, why would you, Greg?
Right. And the thing is, like, WWE's not out there trying to, it's been talked about before. Like, if they were to sell 30,000 tickets in a football stadium, the event's profitable anyway now, because cities are paying for it. So it's just, again, there's level. And, like, no one's paying for AEW.
They would make that 30,000 sound like a big deal. And of course it would look like a big deal. Like, they'd find a way to manipulate it.
If I had any complaint, you know, I hate wrestling in sunlight. So if I had any complaint to make, it would be the fact that the show was in sunlight for half of it. It got dark. It did the whole Metallica, not the tour that you were on. But their tour that they did with Faith No More and Guns N' Roses back in the day, where Metallica was the middle act, and so it got dark during their set, and it was really cool. That happened for the Bayley Nia Jax match, which was cool to get to see. But because
during my tour, it got dark for Pantera and Five Finger. Well, it would have gotten dark for Five Finger Death Punch had the 2-hour weather delay.
Oh no,
dude!
Was the Sunday one.
The Sunday one, yeah. Credit to Metallica. They delayed. So I missed Ice Nine Kills, which I didn't even know who that was. So no loss there. Five Finger Death Punch, like, I know two of their songs. They played those two songs. I was like, cool. But they still were able to bring Metallica on for their full set. So nobody got cheated out of the full no repeat tour experience for Metallica. Like, everybody got to see the headliner. And the only thing that I hated was I didn't get back to my house until 3:00 in the morning. Woof. Where I was quickly reminded that I am 46 and no longer 26.
That's a heck of a night right there. It's a heck of a night.
It was. I was tore up.
That's where you have to plan ahead and take that day off after. Like,
I did. I didn't go to work.
Oh, did you?
Okay. I slept till 10. Went to bed at 3, woke up at 10.
There you go.
Sat around the house with my PJs and watched YouTube videos on my television.
There you go.
Started a dynasty on my newly acquired NCAA College Football 25 that I had not yet. It sat on my counter for 2 weeks. I didn't take it out of the plastic.
Wow.
I finally was like, well, I got some time. Where I am now the proud offensive coordinator of the worst college football team in the game, the University of Massachusetts Minutemen.
I have a dynasty saved on the Suns PS5 right now. Had a pretty good recruiting year. I'm trying to remember which team I was. Which team did I end up being? I can't remember which team. It was a group of five team that we were building up. Because that's what he won a national title with Ball State, so he's happy. Not that Ball State was who he wanted to be, but that's just what he picked.
I've already got to restart. I already want to restart the dynasty. I hadn't played a single game yet, but I already want to restart it because I want to change the offensive playbook, and I want to.
You can change that between games, so.
Yeah, and I also want to redo the recruiting board entirely. Right. It's like, it's the same thing with the old game, and this is totally about pro wrestling, I swear, everybody. Like, you get in there and you kind of think you know how it's going to work, and then as I was sitting there, I was like, wait a minute, why am I putting this four-star dude out, like, on here, even though he has no interest level for anybody? And when you're playing like a shitty group of five team, the whole goal, if they continue to do what they've done in recruiting, is in the first round of recruiting, when you're going through and doing scouts, you recruit the dudes that are in your wheelhouse and are gettable within your needs. And then about 3 weeks in, you start looking for those highly ranked recruits that just have, like,
for that no one has any interest in. Yeah,
like, for some reason, the game has
3 weeks, like, from what I've learned, 3 weeks is actually a little early. We don't start hitting those four stars and five stars until almost the end of the recruiting cycle. And then they commit like that. So,
I haven't played it through. In the other version, in the last version, you kind of started looking 3 weeks or so in.
Right.
After teams had started doing some scouts and some offers and, you know, recruits fall off the table and stuff like that. So, that's my college football.
San Jose State, by the way. That's who my team was. San Jose State.
Very nice.
And because I like the uniforms. And we did all right. We had a shitty record.
Were you a head coach? Were you an offensive coordinator? Were you a defensive coordinator? What'd you do?
Head coach. Head coach focused on the recruiting is what the Sun does. So that's what I was doing.
I'm doing offensive coordinator because I want to work my way up to that first head coaching job.
Even if you start as a head coach, which a lot of people do, the point is to then get offered jobs at the Power Five schools and all of that. But that's not the approach that he took. He wanted to win a national title at Ball State, and then he got offered head coach at Florida and some other things. I think he just started a new dynasty after that because this is what he got to. What he got, but it was all good.
The goal is for me to eventually take over Illinois as the head coach. Which is why you marked your school of origin as Illinois. So that eventually it's like the homecoming to the school.
Right.
So.
And I did mark my alma mater as Virginia Tech and did do all of that.
You got to build the narrative. You got to build that narrative.
It's a storytelling, right? It's storytelling. That's what we do.
We know pro wrestling.
Everything's pro wrestling, right? Everything is pro wrestling.
What's going on in pro wrestling right now? What should I care about?
So you talked to me. You alluded to it briefly. Bash at Berlin is at the end of the month, so it's 3 weeks from Saturday, as Michael Cole put it on Raw. And they did go with Randy Orton challenging Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship. And I knew something was up when I saw a tweet, you know, they've already rendered the draft meaningless. And I saw that tweet and I was like, oh. And I thought, because I knew A-Town Down Under was going to be on the show, and they were going to do their thing with Awesome Truth, because that was advertised by Adam Pearce. But it's like, okay, why are people saying this? And then I saw the graphic that Randy, this is the great thing about watching it on a delay, right? You know most of what happens. I can avoid spoilers if I truly want to. And seeing that it was Randy Orton, and then knowing that the basis was because of the controversial nature of the King of the Ring tournament final, where Orton didn't have his shoulder down, and Michael Cole even pointed it out. And it's like, people thought that was a botch. And here we are, 2.5 months later, and it's like, that was to set up Gunther's first challenger. And yeah, it's Randy Orton, and yeah, he's a SmackDown star, but here's the thing. Especially in this era of longer title runs, what would you say is the percent, barring injury or a fluke or something, but in terms of the plan, what would you say is the percentage chance that they would have Gunther plan to lose in his first title defense?
Oh, zero.
0.00000.
Zero.
There's no fucking 0%. Way.
And here's the thing. Of all the dudes on the roster, and there are a lot of legit dudes, I honestly would have picked Randy Orton first, storyline reason be damned, to go down to Gunther first.
Nobody because better.
Randy Orton is unquestionably a legitimate threat to Gunther. He's a legitimate title threat at any time. And losing to Randy or beating Randy Orton matters.
It matters.
And this is one of those, you know, we talk about it all the time. Wins and losses matter or don't matter until they do. And today, you know, this match and this win, it matters.
Gunther's whole thing is wins and losses matter.
Right. And not only does it matter, but it mattered who he beat first. By beating Randy Orton out of the gate, which we know he can do, which he will do, you have now told the WWE universe and the WWE Universe believes him to be a real champion, a real world heavyweight champion. Not that they didn't already believe that, but this cemented. And if this was 10 years ago, he'd be taking on an Edge. He'd be taking on, you know, some, because he wouldn't take on a John Cena or something like that. But you take on an Edge. Or if there was a babyface, it'd just be babyface Edge. But
right.
Like, Edge would be the guy 10 years ago. And you can just kind of roll back with that. Like, there's a lot of people out there that you see them, they're instantly credible, regardless of the story. And this one has a story. And you're all in and you buy it. And when he wins, it just further cements their legitimacy in the minds of that audience, that much larger than AEW audience that believes Randy Orton is, and in probably in many people's opinions, should be always their champion. Like, it just is.
It is. And it's who Orton is, and he's credible. He's the most credible challenger you could really come up with. The storyline reason was there, although you weren't even needing to reference it. And the match they had was fantastic, and it'll be great again. Mm-hmm. A lot of people predicted that the company that Gunther would lose, the Judgment Day would help Priest win, and then Gunther would win in Germany. But to me, him walking in triumphant as champion is the visual. Yeah, exactly. It's a phrase I even used to explain to somebody why they were going to do it the way they were going to do it. And that's the way they did end up doing it. So it's all fantastic. I want to go back to the Judgment Day storyline real quick, because there's something that I wanted to bring up that I posted somewhere. I might even put it on Twitter. I can't remember, but I want to talk to you about it. Because it was interesting when I saw Rhea Ripley face to face with JD McDonagh and on Raw, and she headbutts him, because she's like, now obviously she's wearing the huge heels, but in the visual she's 4 inches taller than him. Right. Now he's listed at 5'10" and she's listed at 5'7". So I'm calling bullshit on 5'10". It would probably be like you and I standing next to Alex Shelley if that were to happen with JD McDonagh. Ain't no way that dude's more than like 5'6" or 5'7". Come on now. But whatever. Finn Balor and JD McDonagh are the World Tag Team Champions on Raw. Damian Priest is not going to become World Heavyweight Champion again anytime soon. Rhea Ripley could still win the Women's World Championship. But why not have Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley win the tag team titles? Like, we're already doing, they're throwing together teams and all of that, and there's easy ways to storyline out of it once you get to that point. But I think that'd be a hell of a moment. Rhea Ripley said she wants to do it. She wants to challenge and wrestle men. I think it makes sense with Finn Balor and JD. Obviously, JD would take the fall to Rhea and all of that. But why not have them win the tag titles at some point?
Why not have them win the tag titles at some point? That's a good question. There's already people that are talking about how Rhea should win the Intercontinental or U.S. titles.
So. She said she wants a challenge for the Intercontinental title like China did. Yeah.
Right. So, having her tag with... And here's the thing: if she tagged Damian Priest in one of the house, nobody blink an eye.
Some people would, because there's idiots everywhere. But yeah, most people would not.
But you look at the way she was regarded in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was the head of the Judgment Day until she got hurt, and then it went to Damian Priest, and now this has all fallen beautifully together for them. But like, nobody questioned her. Like,
you're already
commanding a room of dudes.
Yeah. And no one, they're already calling them the Terror Twins. Like, Michael Cole even called them the Terror Twins on Raw. So that's obviously, or maybe it was Pat McAfee. I don't know. But somebody referenced that phrase already on Raw that had been going around on social media even before I think some of this happened, as people thought that Priest and Rhea would come out of this as the baby faces. I also, if this doesn't end in Rhea Ripley versus Dominic Mysterio at WrestleMania 41, I don't know what the fuck we're doing anymore. Like,
right.
Dominic needs to get his ass kicked by Rhea Ripley, and I feel like it needs to be in a match. The ass kicking can come wherever, obviously, but first of all, it would mean that Dominic's not wrestling Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania for once, so that'd be nice. But
that's exciting.
Number two, and like, you could put a bunch of people in it and make it a 6-person tag or whatever. No, I want Rhea Ripley 1-on-1 with Dominic Mysterio at WrestleMania, and I want Dominic Mysterio to get the shit beat out of him by Rhea Ripley. Sure, you could do it at Royal Rumble or somewhere else before then, but like, that would be huge for WrestleMania. I know it doesn't put either of them in a title situation, whatever it is, but like, to me, that's a story we tell. And yeah, it seems like it's so far away, but gone are the days where things are so far away anymore. Like, the way they do their storytelling, it can take that long to get there, and that's fine.
Well, we thought the things that happened on SummerSlam were going to happen later, so shows what we know.
It's true, but now they're playing. There was somebody out there who was complaining that, you know, that Seth Rollins got attacked by Bronson Reed on Raw and CM Punk chased Drew McIntyre, so we're not getting Rollins versus Punk right now, and we should be. And I'm like, to me, it's obvious that's happening at WrestleMania. Like, to me, that seems obvious where we're headed.
Not to mention, we're not done with McIntyre and Punk.
Of course not. That's going to Hell in a Cell with Bad Blood.
Right.
Predictable booking, but whatever. That's what they're going to do.
So,
who knows?
So, at the end of the day, kids, the internet's dumb. Listen to your good friends, Patrick and Greg. We know what we're talking about. Ignore, you know, the sports keynotes of the world.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Bitch.
Acknowledge me.
So I knock over the whole computer. So one thing I did want to talk about was the return of the Tribal Chief, the original Tribal Chief, the only Tribal Chief, whatever they're going to say on Friday that OTC stands for. Roman Reigns did make his triumphant return at SummerSlam. We were wrong. We said he wasn't going to, but he did make his triumphant return. And it immediately got 100 million views on social media. Now, we talked about Odyssey Jones got 8 million views. Roman Reigns' return got 100 million views on social media. And he sold $800,000 worth of merchandise in that first 24 hours.
No, Greg, nobody cares about Roman Reigns. We're tired of him.
So here's my end.
Tired of him.
He helped Cody win, and they had the little look or whatever. And Roman looked at Cody and even said, in due time. Which obviously is setting up Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes 3, which I thought should have been the main event at SummerSlam anyway, so where Cody goes over Roman clean. But here's the thing. In my opinion, Patrick O'Dowd, and other people will argue otherwise and blah, 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 and they'll use the word coexist, whatever. To me, this is the worst thing. This is the last thing Cody Rhodes would have wanted to see happen, in my opinion.
Right.
Because Cody wants to be the guy. And in many respects, Cody is the guy. But Roman showed up and it was like, well, shit. You know, it's like, here we go. Like this is what it is. Throw the ones up. Like, I feel like Cody, even if Cody beats Roman clean, which he should do since the first two matches had all kind of shenanigans. Say they do it at WrestleMania, which I think would be dumb, but they've done things like this before. Say they do it at WrestleMania. Maybe it's not dumb. Is there a bigger match for Cody than Roman Reigns? Maybe there's not. The Rock, but even then, who knows? So say they did Roman and Cody at WrestleMania, and Cody pins Roman clean, 1, 2, 3, in the center of the ring, no interference, no anything. He's still never going to get to that level, in my opinion. I just don't think Cody's going to get to the Roman level. I might be wrong, and I'm fine, and I hope I'm wrong, because wrestling needs those generational stars. Right. I just don't. Maybe you think, I don't know, but I don't think Cody's ever going to get to the Roman level. I just don't.
Well, it's hard to get to the Roman level when Roman's still there.
Even if Roman never came back, I don't think Cody gets to the Roman level.
I think inevitably, hopefully, when Cody finally goes the other direction, and we flip the two, that's a real opportunity to see what he really is as a star. What do we want from him? Can he even do that? Can he be that? I think he can. Maybe he doesn't want to be right now,
right.
But like, I think he can. So I don't know. I'll be, I'm a little more patient, I guess, right now, because I do think even if he's, you know, tier two or 1B,
right,
it's still pretty damn good, Roddy. He can, you know, there ain't no shame in being Randy Savage.
No. Not at all. I think that's a great comparison. Well, it's funny, too, because I talk about the third match between Cody and Roman and being a big deal and everything else. I just did the math in my head, and we got three WrestleManias, two SummerSlams, and one Royal Rumble main event or marquee match, whatever, out of Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. That's six big four, big three pay-per-view world title matches out of Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. So we could be in for more than three with Roman and Cody. That could be Cody's... Roman probably already would go down as Cody Rhodes' greatest rival ever, if they never wrestled.
Right.
Because it took him two WrestleManias to beat him. But, like, why not do that? And flip the table, like you said. Like, there was, at the end of the Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns series of matches, Roman was the heel and Brock was the babyface, and it wasn't that way in the beginning. So if we do flip that around, because Roman's babyface now, like, there ain't no way around it.
Right.
And he's not going to change. I saw some people worried about that on Twitter, too. They were like, I don't want him to be a babyface. I'm like, he's not going to change. It's the Roman. Like, he's to the point now where he's not going to be different. He just can't be.
I can't remember who said it or how they described it. It was Bischoff. It was Bischoff again. The truly great wrestler. And he may have stolen this from someone else. Because right. I know I've heard this many, many times before. How we've been talking. The truly great wrestlers. They never really change who they are. They just change who they're fighting.
Once they find that ultimate character, right? That final form, right. The fully evolved Pokemon that we've called it before on our show.
Oh, it might have been Pritchard. Might have been Pritchard, you said, because he was talking about, because I know Steve Austin was one of them where it was like, right. Stone Cold Steve Austin never changed being Stone Cold Steve Austin. But
once he found Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like Drew McIntyre right now. Like I think Drew McIntyre's finally hit that form. Same with Seth Rollins. Like even when Seth Rollins did the interview with Stone Cold on the Broken Skull Sessions, it couldn't even fully define his character, but he was like, Rollins basically said, he was like, this is it. Like this is the character that I'm going to be. For this is my Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's the tribal chief for Roman Reigns. That's Cody Rhodes, who he is now. Even as a heel, he's still going to be the same Cody that we see.
I mean, I can only think of a couple of exceptions where a character could, or a wrestler could change who they were and still carry that.
I'll give you an example of one. Edge in WWE, when he did Judgment Day. Now, it didn't last very long, and they kicked him out too soon and all of that. And then he went back to being the Edge that we know. And he wanted to go much further with the Judgment Day stuff than he did. Edge, to me, was a great example when he did the Judge. Like, he had a whole other layer that he was going into that we hadn't seen and never fully got to see as well. When you get to that point.
Even going further back, The Undertaker, The Undertaker was The Undertaker, then he was the American Badass, and everyone was fine with the American Badass, and still he superseded everything, and then went back to being this MMA Undertaker hybrid thing, and brought back the gay spooky and all that fun stuff, and it was good times. Like, he's another one that had that thing cemented, and it never changed. Even when he changed, it didn't matter. But I don't know anything. I don't know too many past that. The Rock.
Right.
Maybe. With his Hollywood persona that he took later. Hogan.
People tried to claim that the final boss, Rock, was a completely different character. It wasn't. It was just a different evolution. It's just who he is. It's interesting because I felt this when Cody came out for his entrance at SummerSlam. For some reason, when Cody comes out, like I see visions of Dashing Cody Rhodes and the face mask Cody Rhodes and Stardust and all of that. And I just see a bunch of mid-carders over and over and over again. But then Cody comes out, he's a main eventer. And he's main eventing the biggest pay-per-views, and he's one of the biggest stars in WWE. At times, he's the biggest star in WWE, all that. But when Roman Reigns comes out, I keep seeing, even when he was in the Shield, like you knew that was going to be a guy. And it's just, Cody's climb has had to be so different. And I just think, and I know you, I see you giving me the eye, you called it from day one and you were right, but And the Shield did its job. It created three of the biggest stars in the business. And I know people will shit on John Moxley, but no, the Shield created three of the biggest stars in the business. And that's what it was supposed to do, and it was successful. And that's why I consider it to be the greatest stable of all time, because it created the three biggest, even over the Horsemen, which I would put at number two. And then NWO probably number three, because it was still the NWO. The only one that I could say is, like, you never, when we had red and yellow Hulk Hogan, we never thought we'd see another Hulk Hogan. And then we got NWO Hogan and Hollywood Hogan. And that's why it's hard. You know, sometimes you can argue that he's the greatest of all time, because he could literally be deemed the greatest babyface and the greatest heel in the history of the sport. But Roman coming back, like, if people aren't ready, you know, it's funny because he acknowledged me, right?
Acknowledge me.
If you can't acknowledge that he is literally, you can only put four people on Mount Rushmore, but if Mount Rushmore had no, not that limit, like, he's on it at this point. Like, he's in tier one at this point in wrestling history. He's in the Stone Cold, Hulk Hogan, Rock, Ric Flair, John Cena tier. He's there. Even if he's the bottom of that tier, he is in the tier and cannot be removed from the tier. And that's just where he's at in the business and where it is. It just, to me, it's a fact now, like sales, reaction, every, you know, main events, all that stuff. Like, even if they said he was going to be the guy and then he made him the guy, they've pivoted on people before that they thought would be the guy and then weren't the guy. And that's Roman, and that's where Roman is. And I think it's great that he's back. I think it's going to be great for business. As we march toward the, Cody himself has said he wants to go to Raw. He's made the comments, because TV time is harder to come by on SmackDown, because it's a 2-hour show and it's on network television. So it's a 2-hour show and you have more commercial breaks and longer commercial breaks than you have on cable. Now it's moving to USA, whatever, but still. But Cody wants to be woven throughout every episode. Like, say what you want, he's a ball hawk. Like, Cody wants the ball. Cody wants the TV time. And you can't do that on SmackDown, especially every week, because of how precious that time is. Cody wants to go to Raw. I honestly think right now that the two champions are actually on the wrong brands.
Yeah.
Because Gunther's not an appear or wrestle every week kind of guy. And Cody is. And so I think at some point we got to move him. And maybe wait to WrestleMania. But, I mean, SmackDown goes to USA in you know, just a few weeks. Raw goes to Netflix at the beginning of the year. Like, I think we might see some movement before we get to that point. There is no reason, in my opinion, to have Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes in the same brand. It just doesn't make sense.
Actually, alleviates a little bit of your point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And Rob the Genius from the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, he put it best. Like, if the scale is 1 to 5, 5 being the highest, 1 being the lowest, Cody's a 5 and Roman's a 5. But if you put them on the same brand, the sum of those is 8. Like, they just can't be, and he's a math guy, so I know you might think the math ain't math, but it's a mathematician who said this. But if you put them on separate brands, they can be the 5s they need to be. And I do think Roman makes more sense on SmackDown because he doesn't appear every week. And it opens that up, and Cody wants to appear every week, and so he makes more sense to be on Raw. So it'll be interesting to see how we get to where, and they renamed the title so that there's no longer Raw and SmackDown specific titles, so champions can move, and it'll just be interesting to see how they move people around and what they do as we march towards this new world that we don't know what it's going to look like. I mean, we just found out today, it was just announced that NXT is going to emanate from the Allstate Arena in Chicago when it premieres on the CW, and then it's going to be at the big arena in St. Louis the next week. Like, it's NXT. Like, I thought they were going to go on the road but do smaller arenas. Not Allstate, and I don't know the name of the arena in St. Louis, but it holds 20,000 people. Like, these are big fucking deals. How does St. Louis not have a basketball team if they have a 20,000-seat arena? How does they not have a – I don't know. I know you love St. Louis and you love the Cardinals, but, like,
well,
the fact they don't have a basketball –
Stan Kroenke was a piece of shit. And,
yeah, it's true.
And fucked the city over the Rams. They had a St. Louis team, and then the ABA went away. And then it's just – and that's about the NBA and looking at a market. And for all of its charm, you know, it has, like you mentioned, the Cardinals. It has hockey. Has an MLS team now. And they draw pretty well. It's still a small city.
right?
Like in the grand scheme of cities, and so it's a little bit of a tougher sell because St. Louis isn't the team that it was, or the city that it was when it was kind of the westernmost hub for a big swath of the country until right. you got to LA. So that's kind of why it's just not the city that. Then again, Salt Lake City has basketball, so what do I know?
True. Yeah, it's all. I just think, you know, it's like when the current owner of the Phoenix Suns said that he now that Alex Morello is skipped town completely, and his option to have the Coyotes is pretty much dead, and Alex Morello is like I can't remember the name of the guy who owns the Suns right now, but he basically said like Phoenix is a four sport city, like they need to have a hockey team, and he's going to try to bring one to Phoenix when he gets a chance to. I feel St. Louis should be a four sport team too. I'm not talking about MLS right now, but
I agree with you, and I just I don't know why. I know why football fell apart. But basketball, it kind of is what it is. And I will say this: the tough thing about St. Louis is they really are fucking Cardinal Town, because that team is terrible, and they still support a team that does not deserve its love. Because it is undergoing some stubborn and dated ownership. But that is also nothing to do with the wrestling program.
Well, that's my fault, too, because I said that we were going there, and I took us there. So let's see
this. All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
So I sent Patrick O'Dowd a screenshot of a tweet because I didn't know if it was going to get deleted or whatever. And the person was quote tweeting the WrestleTix info on All in London, where the ticket sales are now. And here's what the guy said. And it's one of those confusing tweets where certain words are capitalized and certain words aren't and whatever. This is AEW family. We need to show the feds. He's talking about the WWE, but he didn't even go the Fed. He went the feds. We are better and need to buy every All-In tickets to help us beat WWE. Please show Tony Khan the support he needs, as he does everything for us and the wrestling community. Sometimes we, in all capital letters, gotta pop out and show the feds they ain't like us. For grammar aside, and just poor writing aside, I know you saw this and you were just like, what the fuck am I looking at right now? Like it's just asinine
right. What
you read.
I wrote the fuck question mark. This is a beautiful example of a tweet that WWE.
First of all, it's just a beautiful example of a tweet. That's where Twitter is these days. But.
Right. But it's a perfect example. Like when we talk about how I'll be nice, interesting. The AEW stand can be. This is what we're talking about. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? Who gives a shit if you sell out all out or whatever the hell it is? The WWE doesn't care. You are showing the WWE zero things. Like, you are not making the point that you clearly think you are making. They will not feel threatened. They do not care. Sorry, it was All In. They will, like, nobody shit their pants here, because the WWE is the largest global wrestling promotion, period. Like, it is. Like, nothing's going to stop it. You beat them, outsell tickets for them on one show? One show?
Which you had to lie about and fabricate anyway, so it didn't matter.
Right. So one show? Like, what are you talking about? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. You're crazy town.
Here's the crazy
thing. People think you're crazy town.
When AEW debuted, it basically debuted at number two. It really did.
Right.
New Japan, yeah. Be damned, whatever. And now they're part of New Japan, and New Japan's happy with what they're doing, and TNA's happy with what they're doing, and Ring of Honor's not a consideration now because of the fact that they're part of AEW, and MLW's cool with what they've got going on, like everybody. And WWE, of course, is the global leader, like you said. Here's the crazy thing about that AEW being number two. No one else even wants to be number two. No one else even gives a fuck about being number two.
Yeah, nobody's because even really trying.
It's just, it's a business, right? Do your business and make your money, and you'll be just fine. Like, AEW debuted at number two. They're fine at number two. I don't have any problem with them being number two. it just is what it is. Maybe you could say the number one pro wrestling because WWE is not pro wrestling, but they really are, so you can't say that either. Here's my problem with this tweet. And this is what it goes back to, a big part of the problem that I've had with the AEW, WWE tribalism feud, because the companies aren't feuding. It's not a rivalry. They're not competitors. It's not enough for Based World 690. It's not enough for him to be a fan of AEW. Like his opinion is valid. Your opinion that you love AEW, Based World 690, is valid. I acknowledge you, Based World. I acknowledge your opinion.
Acknowledge me.
I do. I acknowledge you because your opinion means something. Your opinion is important. But it's this underlying fact point that people need their opinion to be accepted as fact. And that's what it's not enough for this guy, this person. I don't know if it's a guy. Profile picture is upside down, but I think it's a dude. It's not enough for Based World 690.
Something that a dude would write.
Right? Because women are smarter than us. Right. Most of them. Based World 690. It's not enough for this person to just be a fan of AEW. Their fandom has to be right. They have to be a fan of something that's better than what everyone else is a fan of. Who cares? Like what you like. This is why people, but then when it gets big, they complain that, you know, the band sold out, right? They had to sell out to become a big band. Now it's not the same anymore. It's not truly great like it was. It's changed and you all love it, but I was there when, blah, 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 the whole hipster thing. And AEW really is like hipster wrestling. That's what it is in a lot of ways. But just be happy with what you have. But it's the fact that I got to be a fan of what's best. And so if I'm not a fan of what's best, I've got to make what I'm a fan of become best. Who cares? In order for AEW to become the best, they have to completely sell out on all the reasons that you fell in love with them to begin with. And completely become something that they can't. And as long as WWE exists, AEW will never do WWE better than WWE does. So it's pointless for them to do that. We've talked about it before, and I've talked about it on other shows too. Just like what you like and be done with it. Who cares? Who cares if they beat WWE and we got to show the feds? Fucking idiot. Like, just like what you like. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with liking what you like and it ending there? Why can't it end there, Patrick O'Dowd? Why can't we just like what we like and it ends there?
Because we've glorified 83 weeks.
We've glorified
83 weeks. Like, but here's the thing. What it is.
Yeah.
Because
but they lost in the end and went under.
Right. But here's the thing. Because I always laugh at our good friend, you know, friend of the show, Conrad Thompson, because he whines and cries about tribalism all the time. And about, he basically does your rant, like the people should like what they like. And on some level, I do believe that Conrad probably believes that, while at the same time being one of those dumb people that really buys into all of the, like, sort of notion of the Monday Night War being something that needs to be continued and perpetuated. And not in the competition is a good thing sort of way. Like, there was this piece of the Monday Night War that people don't really talk about, and that was how desperately each group's fans really were critical of the others. And the Monday Night War really enhanced it as both companies were cooking with gas. And when that went away, fans were at a loss of what to do. Fans were at a loss of what to have. Some of these people that are tweeting, I'm even willing to bet the dude that's tweeting did not experience the Monday Night Wars the way we did, kind of in real time in our 20s.
Right.
Yet they've been given to believe that the WWE is this evil empire that must be taken down. And the plucky little company that tried back in the day was WCW. AEW will succeed where WCW failed. And they do that by calling WWE fans stupid, bots, followers, idiots, trolls, don't know nothing, hacks, wannabe wrestling fans, posers. They do all of this stuff. and WWE fans, when they care, WWE fans are like top Gen Xers because they don't really give a shit, but they can say the honest thing and kind of eviscerate whatever is being put right in front of them. Because Gen X was watching the Monday Night Wars. They are this group that like it's a nothing burger to them.
It is.
And they don't care. And their points that they make about AEW fans are really, are you this? It's the fuck question mark to stuff like that dude wrote, because we don't get it. We're like, why are you this mad at a company? Like, why are you so mad at this company that you profess you don't watch?
It's true. It's true. It's dumb. So all I can do is look at this person and be like, have fun. Have fun.
Bitch.
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 You just made the list.
And that will do it for the exclusive edition of the Greg DeMarco Show. Go follow Patrick O'Dowd on the Twitter at Wrestling Realist. It's WrestlingRealist. That's right. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in Realist and there is one in Patrick. For the Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd, go follow me, Greg DeMarco, at GregDeMarco44. Go follow the website at ChairShot Media. It's thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Next week, I promise more sound bites and more things to talk about and have fun, because that's what makes this fun. The show fun. Until then, always use your head and just like what you like, and everything will be fine as long as you understand that the biggest star in wrestling is Roman Reigns.
Acknowledge me.
Awesome.
I came to
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.